Well, good morning. Last time I was here, I asked you a question. I wonder if you remember what the question was. I'll tell you. I asked the question, do you love Jesus? And you said yes. So I've got another question today. And that is, do you want to follow Jesus? I'm glad to hear that. Following Jesus is something that we all have in our hearts to do, but sometimes we're not that good at it. Sometimes we really do mess up. Sometimes we don't get things right, but so long as our heart is right, then Jesus is with us and we are with him. We know that Jesus is the light of the world. And you'll see an unfamiliar display today up here on the platform. We don't normally have candles, but then I'll probably do some things today that you don't normally do. But there's the candle. And the candle is there for no other reason than for me to introduce today's opening text. So I want to do that now. And it's simply this. When Jesus spoke to the people again, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. They will have the light of light. And I racked my brains and I thought, what song should we start with? And I can remember when I was quite young, went to school in Felixstowe, my music master had one of these wonderful sort of record players with all twiddly knobs that you could change the treble and the bass on. And he had one of these old, fairly large records, the old long-playing records, I suppose they were. And one of them was actually this song. And I played it again and again and again, because I loved the tune. Down in the valley, follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Would you like to sing that with me this morning? Let's sing it.
Thank you. after that lovely, robust start to the meeting, I would like to bring you to prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, this morning we want to say thank you. Thank you that we're able to meet together to worship in a freedom that is denied so many Christians in the world. Thank you for the gift of your word so freely available to us. Thank you for Paul, for the message which you have inspired him to share with us, and for his prayerful preparation. Thank you that we can bring to you our concerns, our anxieties for our families and friends, for those in our fellowship, our community, our country, our world. Thank you for your faithfulness in hearing and answering our prayer. And just now, Lord, I would like to bring to you by name the people that are in our bulletin. Majors Wendy and Ralph Chambers, Major Jill Andrews, Peter and Sylvia Couchman, Terry, the nephew of Doreen Stiff, Marion Versey, Avril, friend of Carol Davies, Den and Bev Diasher, Melvin Baker, Libby's uncle, Jean and Bob Versey, Roy Aldis, Stephen Kemp, Paul's father, Les Bradley, Benjamin, age 13, going through treatment for brain tumour, family known to Celia, and Vi Thurston. And we thank you, Lord, that we're able to bring these people to you by name. Father, our hearts go out to the communities affected by the Hurricane Dorian. We grieve alongside those who have lost loved ones, or those who do not know whether their loved ones have survived. We share in the despair of those who have seen their homes and their livelihoods destroyed. We pray for those on the ground who are seeking to come alongside and provide aid and support. We pray that the international community will respond speedily and generously. And we pray that spirit of generosity to be in our own hearts. We pray too for our own country in a time of worry and confusion. We pray for the wisdom for leaders, for commitment to working together for the good of the people of the United Kingdom. And nearer to home, we pray for our own town, for our leaders. We pray for our church and for the other churches in Felixstowe and the surrounding villages. We thank you for each other and for the love that is shared within this fellowship. And above all, we thank you for the great redeeming love shown through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for these prayers, Lord, and we ask you to bless them. Amen.
Well, I need some help. I wondered if any of the children would like to just come up. There's a little something for you to do. It might involve getting slightly messy hands. That's always a good thing. So anybody who'd like to come up, do come up now. And Gillian and Alicia will tell you what you've got to do. Okay? Can I go to the walking about mic, please? Now, the problem is that you won't see very easily what they're doing, and the reason they're doing it down on the floor is because it's a bit risky up here and we didn't want anybody falling off the platform. So I've got some things to help you see what they're up to, and first of all, if I can make this work, can you go to the next slide because this isn't working, Jackie? Right, there we go. Now, what they've got on their table, I wonder if you can work it out. Can you see a little tube of something? Well, that's a tube of hand cream, all right? What they're doing at the moment is that they're rubbing their hands with hand cream, and the black piece of paper that they've got there, they're going to put a print on the piece of paper with their hands. The next exciting bit, which you can see the top of, do you know what that is? That white round top? It's talcum powder, okay? And where they've made this sticky mark, they're going to spray that with talcum powder, okay? And they're doing that now, by the way. And then they're going to shake it, all right? They're going to shake it, and they're going to clean their hands up too. But they're going to shake it, and then as they shake it, the talcum powder will come off apart from the bit where the sticky handprint is. So that's what they're up to. We need enough talcum powder on there to really get onto the sticky hand. And then there's, I think you can see in the picture, there's a bit of a brush. So they're going to brush round the edge of their hand, okay? And eventually they will have an image, which they're going to show you, but not at the moment. So there's some anticipation there for you. They're not going to show you that at the moment, because what we're then going to do, because you can imagine that talcum powder on a black piece of paper, if they wave it about too much, most of the talcum powder, after it's dried out, the bit will come off. So we go to the last object on our slide, and that is hairspray. So yes, there's an offer to try it out down here. We're going to use hairspray to seal the powder on the paper. And the reason the children are doing this is that they are helping us with a visual aid. I wonder if I could, Oliver, do you think I could, very careful, you're doing a marvellous, do you think I could borrow that just for a second? This bit, okay, thank you, I'll bring it straight back and I won't mess it up. This is, look, what Oliver has done, okay, you see it? And actually, if you look closely, you can see the lines of his hands and the prints on his palms. So I'm going to give this back to Oliver because it's not sealed yet. So here we go. Oliver, I'll let you carry on with that. Do write your names on them, and then you can collect them once the hairspray has dried. They're doing a very careful job there. That's great. Matthew, that's really good. Well done, everybody. Now I'm going to carry on talking, and when you've put your papers down and sprayed them, you can go back to your seat. I said I would be showing you some things that we don't normally have as part of our church building or our church expression. One thing we don't have in our church is statues. We don't feel that's necessary for us to have statues of Christ. In fact, we don't know really what Christ looked like. So there's a great hesitation in our expression of the Christian faith of having anything that symbolizes that in our building. But some churches do. And some churches will have statues because they help. They help the people focus on God. When they see the statue, they're reminded of the love of Christ. And so often the statue has open arms. This is a typical pose of those statues. But do you notice in this statue something missing? Do you notice something missing? Let me give you a clearer image of another statue which is very similar. Hands. And the story goes that during the war on the continent, many villages were bombed and some of the churches were bombed. And one statue in particular was completely broken to pieces. That statue was a precious statue to the village. And The people wanted it restored. So they did. They had it restored. And it was a marvellous thing that they had restored because it was precious to them. It meant so much. But the one thing that couldn't be restored were the hands of Christ. They were broken beyond repair. And so the villagers said, well, perhaps we could really recreate, perhaps we could get some new hands. And there was a big argument in the village as to whether this should be done or not. And in the end, they decided they would not put the hands back on Christ. And there is a reason for that. They decided not to do that, but they decided to lift the statue up on a plinth and put some words at the bottom of the plinth. I have no hand but yours. Thomas is going to come and read us a short poem.
Christ has no body on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion on the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world.
Yours are the hands which Christ uses now to bless the world. And that's our command to serve him. And that's the theme of our holy habit, to serve Christ faithfully. Do you know, I think I know a hymn about that. Shall we sing it? Now, I have it on good authority that the singing company are back, so I'm going to invite them now to come and make their contribution to our worship. As far as I know, unless I'm told any different, they didn't have a practice this week. That starts next week. So from their repertoire, they are going to sing for you Amazing Grace. It's time now for the young people to go off to their group. So before they go, shall we just pray for them and pray for their leaders? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the children who worship here with us. We ask you to bless them as they now go to their group. Lord, bless their leaders. Help them to learn more about your love and help them to know that they too have to love one another. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Heavenly Father, this month we are thinking in our study of your word about serving you, and we have a motto, serving God through serving others. And this morning we simply ask that as we have given in our offering, that it will be used wisely to serve others in your name. Amen. Amen. Delight to see you here. If you're visiting us and you don't know what we normally do, then following our worship, tea and coffee is available for you to join us in the community hall through the double doors at the back. This evening, or rather, I better get a little bit sooner. There will be an open air this morning at the Triangle. If you'd like to join us, we appreciate that. That's just after 12 o'clock. This evening there's no meeting here in our hall, but it's Education Sunday, and Josh and the team are leading worship at St. Andrew's Church at 6:30 this evening. 6:30 at St. Andrew's Church. On your bulletin, you will see that Noah's Ark is on at 2 o'clock on Thursday. Explorers has 7 o'clock, but don't panic, those of you who are sort of helping. It actually finishes at 6 o'clock. Next Saturday is the Suffolk Historic Church's
and you ride and stride, you can still sponsor someone, or you can go on a walk around yourself or on your cycle. If you want any forms to fill in, then Jan has those. Also, if you can spare an hour during the day to come and check in the cyclists, the many cyclists who come to our church, there is a form on the notice board to help us with that. Whilst talking about cycles, Dan, you know, Dan the man with his bicycle, he's off again. He's on his way now, right at this moment, to Venice, and he's going to ride from Venice to Rome, and that's 400 miles, and it's in aid of the hospice once again. It's not too late to make donations. If you would like to do that, Charlotte or Heather will only be too pleased to take the money from you. So apart from giving money, let's think about him. 400 miles. He's a strange man, isn't he, Dan? He's a strange man. Now, next Saturday also, running alongside the cycles, there is a coffee morning, and it's a coffee morning about well-being, and there'll be breakfasts and cakes and all the usual things going on in the community hall, but lots of stalls giving information about well-being, and you'll be able to pick up lots of leaflets to help you there. And anything raised during that morning will be shared between the Young People's Club, the Adventurers, I think that's right, Explorers, I can never get it right, and of course the Big Collection. So you'll be helping the Army by coming along and having your breakfast here next week. Also, on the 17th of this month, the NHS are coming to this hall, and you can get a free health check, blood pressure, cholesterol check, to assess your general health, and this is free. The only thing is that if you look on your bulletin, you'll see a telephone number or an email, and you need to get in touch with them to book an appointment so that there's not hundreds of people queuing outside. So if you feel you're not fit, get a check, a free check, and that'll be great. And on Wednesday the 18th, we have in our hall volunteer passport training. Now this is it's a free passport. It's an accredited course with an enable individuals like you and me to volunteer, not just for the cafe, but for any volunteering jobs that come along in the town. There's some posters going up, which will give you much more details of that. Finally, you say, praise the Lord, finally, the Big Collection. It's here. It's right now. And can I just give you final information on this? Those of you who have kindly put your name down to collect your road or your street or streets around, in the next couple of days I shall be bringing you your permits and your envelopes or your box, whichever you've asked for, and you've got until the 26th of the month to collect in that money. So thank you for that. Some people have said to me, in lieu of collecting, they'll give me a check and some money. That's okay, I'm happy with that. And if you're going to do that, can you put it in the drop box by next Sunday evening, and then we'll have a fair idea by then what our target is looking like. So if you can do that. And finally, those of you who are collecting coins, loose change in bottles, boxes, cardboard boxes, wherever you're collecting it, if you could bring them in to the office or bring them next Sunday, the last date will be next Sunday night. Now, as it's your money that you're putting out of your pocket, on this occasion we will allow you to count it. So if you want to know how much you've got in that bottle, count it, because if you hand it in, we're not going to do it. It's too many, and we're not having totals or individual totals. So if you want to know how much is in your bottle, please count it, put it back in the bottle, and then we'll recount it to make sure it's all there. Okay. So thank you very much indeed for listening.
Almost time for the band's contribution, but I feel I want to introduce it to you, because I was at band practice this week and I thought, what a peculiar title. And I didn't know this tune. Well, I knew the tune, but I didn't know the hymn. It's interesting for another reason, is that Gillian and I started sort of attending at odd times Salvation Army when we used to go on holiday in Sheringham. And by the way, Sheringham knows one or two of you people here, I think. That's about as far north as we went. And then only a few weeks ago, we went as far south as we could go, and we went to Falmouth for a holiday. And we met the Salvation Army there. They got a little band and a little group that sings, and blow me, they knew three or four or five people who currently worship here. So I won't let you know what they told me, but I've got a question for you. Now, this is a real test, because if anybody can say yes to this, I will be overjoyed. Do any of you know the corps at Hadley, not Suffolk, Hadley, Essex? Oh, right. Well, I've got a question, and you'll have to shout, because I'm afraid my hearing's left me today, so I can't hear very well. Do you know a lady who either is or did worship at Hadley, Essex, called Audrey Harrison? And the silence is deafening. Well, I'll tell you something you don't know then. Audrey Harrison was, at one time, if not now, a member of the corps at Hadley, Essex. This hymn was her favourite, and she had something to say about it. This song became more familiar to me during my days of the corps cadet house parties at Sunbury Court. Now, does that ring a bell with anybody? Sunbury Court. You see, I'm learning all the time. And she went there as a teenager, this is, during the years of the late 50s. And there were house parties for teenagers. And they gathered from all over the country. And they came to celebrate. And she was asked to sing. And she sang this song. And she says, "These days, everything seems to have to be done immediately, if not sooner. And we tend to be swept into the fast stream of life. This song helps us slow down and reflect. Make my heart a quiet place. Lord, come and dwell therein, a little place of mystic grace, of self and sin swept bare, where I may look upon thy face and talk with thee in prayer." Would you like to use this time of reflection, listening to the music, to offering your own prayer to Almighty God, our Heavenly Father? Thank you, Ben. And now we'll have our Bible reading. Bob's going to come and read that for us.
From John 13, 1 to 17, and then 34 to 35. And the title of this is Jesus Washes His Disciples' Feet. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to his Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all these things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So that he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I am your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also shall wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor his messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And in 34, "A new command I give you, love one another, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another."
Thank you, Bob. The songsters are now going to bring their contribution. While they're just getting ready, here's a picture of the chap who actually wrote the song that they're going to sing. You can see he's a gentleman from a different era. This song was written in 1880, but it's a reflective song, and I'm sure you will find time there just to sit quietly as they sing to us. "Saviour, lead me, lest I stray."
Thank you.
Saviour, lead me all the way. Our job is to follow him, because he will lead us all the way. Well, can I go to roving mic, please? Well, I hope you enjoyed, although you couldn't see it, but the children's activity, because here's the print of my hand, all right? And in my reflections this week, I've been thinking about this handprint, and I thought, well, you know, as I go through the week, my handprint touches many situations and many folks. And I wondered to myself, what sort of handprint have I left around Felixstowe this week? And that really is our challenge. Not to review last week, but to give you the challenge of this week. What effect will your handprint, your loving handprint, your work for Christ, have in Felixstowe this week? In the community, where will your handprint be? In this church, where will your handprint touch lovingly? In your family, where will your handprint touch? I'm going to tell you about Tim and Beryl. Tim wanted his handprint to touch. He wanted to be really, really loving towards his wife. They'd been together for a number of years. And they were not old, but they were getting on a bit. And Beryl had a birthday coming up. He wanted to do something special. Something that he could feel that he's really serving, something that she would delight in. And one morning in the house, when she got the friend in for coffee, he overheard their conversation. And Beryl said, "Yes, I'd like to be 12 again." Well, that's all he needed to hear. So on the morning of her birthday, he got up and he made her a big bowl of cocoa pops. As soon as she finished them, he took the car to Alton Towers theme park, where they had a wonderful day. He placed her on all the rides, anything that was high, fast, scary, spinning. And 5 hours later, staggeringly, they left the theme park. Her head was reeling, her stomach was a bit upside down. He then took her to McDonald's, where he ordered her a Happy Meal, extra fries and a chocolate milkshake. Finally, they wobbled back home. Both exhausted, they went to bed and they collapsed. Tim lovingly went over to Beryl and he said to her with a big smile on his face, "Well, dear, how did you like being 12 again?" Her eyes opened slowly and her expression changed. She realized that he had overheard her with her friend. And she said, "Oh, you silly old love, I was talking about my dress size." Jesus used illustrations to tell the crowds all the things. He did not tell them anything without illustrating it with a story. So what the prophets said came true. I will open my mouth to illustrate points. I will tell them what's been hidden since the world began. That actually is a direct text from Scripture. It's not something I've added on to my story. It's a slightly different version, but it makes the point, doesn't it? You think of our Lord in his ministry on earth for 3 years, roaming about. This is why I want to be roaming like. Roaming about and teaching the crowds, teaching his disciples who were slow to learn. But he used objects and stories, and here we have the table that I've prepared for you today. And on it are some of the objects that Christ used to tell his story. Here, for example, is some fruit. Do you know what this fruit is? Fig. You're quite right. Fig. And one of the stories he tells is really difficult to understand, because he saw a fig tree that had not got any fruit on it. And he cursed the fig tree. And within an instant, the fig tree withered. The tree with no fruit withered. Jesus looked up, and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put 2 very small copper coins in. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in all she had. 2 small copper coins given to the temple collection. The temple collection was taken in a great big vase, really, with a narrow top and a wide bottom. So she would have placed her collection in the jug. The rich people, of course, would make quite a show of what they were about. They'd also put their collection in the jug. Jesus was telling our thoughts that he calls us to be humble. Jesus said, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. I could go through the table if you're interested in looking at these texts. Come up afterwards and have a look. I'll read you today. The bowl, the towel, and the jug. Simon introduced us to this story last week, and he said one thing about it. He said, I'm sure there are many lessons to be learned from this passage of Scripture. And I've printed it out for you so you can take it home, so that you can look at it this week and see how many lessons you can learn from this passage of Scripture as you study it this week, as you contemplate it, as you look at it. And I invite you now to take that piece of paper and to have it in front of you. Because, as you know, Simon said this was all about serving. And of course, it isn't really about washing one another's feet. Not really. That was the example, the story that Jesus and was able to tell through this action, he was actually saying, you must do as I do. And he tacked something onto the end, right at the end of that. Look at the end of your sheet. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Why is that in the passage? I've left a gap. Because in John's Gospel, which this is taken from, Jesus doesn't, the recording isn't actually stated as to what was happening with the disciples while Jesus was trying to teach them about what he sees. And I don't know if you know what it was about, but actually, the disciples were squabbling with one another. They were arguing with one another who was the best. And Jesus said, be humble. Love one another. We don't do that in this church, do we? We don't. We don't squabble with one another, do we? We don't moan about what's going on. We don't criticize because somebody's tried to do something good and they've failed. We're not proud, are we, about what we achieve? Are we humble? Do we really love one another? That's what the foot washing is all about. He calls us to be his servants, to share his love with one another and with the world out there. We're going to listen to a video that tells the story of foot washing and loving. Could I have the video on now, please, Jackie?
This is what I'm asking you to do. This is what I need here beside you.
Jesus said, those who've had a bath only need to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean. Do you know that you are clean? Because you love the Lord and you have decided to follow Jesus, you are clean. You are forgiven. And when we try and serve him and we fail, you are forgiven. You don't need a bath, but you do need your feet washed. Can you see what Jesus was driving at? When you go about serving him, you'll get frustrated. In fact, sometimes you'll even kick up the dust on the road and make your own feet dirty. You'll say things you shouldn't say. You'll think things you shouldn't think. You'll get tired and fed up. But mostly, you'll serve him. You'll serve him because you love him. And you will go to him. And you will say, having already been saved by Christ, you will say, Jesus, wash my feet, because I'm sorry I let you down. And Jesus says, yes, I will wash your feet. You don't need a bath, but you do need your feet washed regularly. This is a good holy habit to stick with. The holy habit is asking on a weekly basis, even on a daily basis, asking God to wash us, wash our feet, because we've let him down once again. Could you adopt that holy habit this week as you reflect on where your hands touch? Could you acknowledge when you've gossiped in an unhelpful way? You didn't mean to, but you found yourself doing it again. Could you ask his forgiveness when you point to another's failure and do not humble yourself enough? God wants you to love. He doesn't want you to criticize, and he doesn't want you to argue. He wants this church to represent him. He wants this church as a whole to represent him. Not just you, but everyone. May God bless you as you struggle through the life of this week and you reflect on where your feet go and where you leave your handprints. Because the wonderful thing is that Christ will be with us, and he will tell us that he will give us strength, that we might be human and we might have our faults, but he will give us our strength. It's his strength that we receive. It's his strength that we need. So can you leave this place today in the strength of the Lord to do his work and to serve him faithfully? Be a blessing to yourselves and be a blessing to others. We conclude our service with the song, I'll Go in the Strength.
Thank you.
Amen. Some words of scripture. Dear brothers and sisters, warn those who are lazy, comfort those who are frightened, take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to everyone else. Always be joyful. Always keep on praying. No matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And now may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us and give us his peace.